everyone. I'm Celeste Headley, and you're listening to That's a Good Question. It's part of the Women Amplified podcast from the Conferences for Women. So today's listener finds herself trapped in a career conundrum. She's had one single career goal her entire life. But 8 years into her journey, when her dream is just about to become reality, she finds herself questioning everything. In this episode, we'll help her determine what's next and then how to get there, including ways to translate her skills into new areas and some strategies to navigate the overwhelm that can come with managing a transition. Helping me problem solve, I'm excited to be joined by our guest expert, Khadija Ben-Hamada from Merck, KGaA Darmstadt, Germany. Khadija is the chief of staff to chair of the executive board and group CEO, and the global head of innovation, HR talent development, and recruiting. So, let's get started. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit more about the challenge you're facing right now?
For years, I feel like I've been running, kind of with tunnel vision towards this one goal of making partner.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, for the past year or two, I guess I've been working closely with a partner who has become a really good mentor. And he's told me several times that his goal is to make me partner and that he wants me to take his job when he retires in a few years. So this goal I've had of making partner.
I mean, that's great. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. In theory, it sounds so great. But once he started having those conversations with me, it's made me take a step back to really look at what being partner even entails, and even just working at a CPA firm, like, do I even want that? So now I'm kind of at this crossroads, like, do I stay the course and continue on this path that I've been told I've wanted all these years, because it's all I really know? Or do I give it all up and try to find something different that I might actually want?
So let me probe how far this goes, this questioning of yourself, which is healthy and wonderful to question yourself. Is it that you're not sure you even want to do accounting at all?
Maybe not so much accounting, but just the public accounting aspect of it, I'm questioning.
So you still like accounting the field?
That's hard to say. Like, that's all I've ever done is public accounting. So I don't really know if I would like another aspect of accounting.
Okay. So the only job you've ever held as a graduated adult is an accounting job?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Well, this is a great moment to bring in our expert. So let's bring in Khadija. Hi, Khadija.
Hi, Celeste.
So I am so glad that Sarah has brought this question to us, because I feel like a lot of our women are in this position and sometimes aren't brave enough to ask the question both of themselves and themselves publicly of, is this job still right for me? What can you tell Sarah to begin with in terms of just this whole idea of, is it ever worth it to completely change your career path?
So the first thing I want to say to Sarah is that I think she's not by herself in such a reflection time. I think we all have been through that journey of being at the crossroad in our life.
Yeah.
And I think that is very important to really keep this self-confidence. I mean, what I want to tell to Sarah is what you have done the last couple of years and all the skill set and all the unique gift that you are bringing to the table are something that you should be very proud. And those are quite unique. Your experiences, the path you have been taking, the obstacle you had to overcome. And today you are just at a crossroad where you ask yourself, is it the right path for me? And I really like what you said, because you say, I was told to. And now what you are just facing is, I have to think about, is it for me, or I have to put myself first? So first of all, to Sarah, every woman in my environment, and I know so many even men that have achieved that feeling and that crossroad, stay self-confident. Remember that you are not by yourself. Remember that you have acquired a lot. And now I will probably take the time to check with myself and ask myself a couple of questions and do a kind of inventory of all the gifts and all the skills that I have developed and ask myself a couple of questions. What is it today that I'm not enjoying anymore? When did that happen? Can that be corrected, as an example? before I make that big career change, and I understand, Sarah, you're feeling it can be a little bit scary, can I maybe get different perspective and try different aspect before I make a final decision? So those are maybe my first reaction to Sarah's situation today.
Okay, so that's excellent. Let's ask these questions, Sarah. Which aspects are you not enjoying anymore?
I would say the main aspect is the, I don't know if this is bad to say, but the client serving aspect.
That's not bad to say.
No, it's not bad, yeah.
Where like, I feel like I'm always on call. Whenever a client sends me an email or calls me, I feel like I have to respond right away. And it kind of makes me feel like I'm always on edge.
Interesting. Okay. Which aspects of your job are you still loving?
So I work in tax. So the aspects I do like are the researching of the tax law and understanding a client's issues and how to apply the tax law to those issues.
Okay. And you told us that you began to feel this way just recently. What does that mean? Like within the past year, within the last few months?
So what I meant by that was I've only just began questioning it recently, because up until then I was like, well, of course this is what I want. It's what I've been told I want. So now I have it. And isn't that great? So now I'm just kind of really thinking it through and realizing this maybe is not what I want.
Which is great and healthy, but how long ago did this start?
Probably within the year or so when my mentor started telling me that I can take his job when he retires, when it started becoming a reality.
I see. So as soon as it became real that you might be a partner and this might be your job for the rest of your life. Okay. So Khadija, that's fairly normal, right? When you have to make a huge decision. And it sounds like there are aspects of her job that she still really likes. What's her next step?
I think what's definitely next step, Sarah, is, and I think you have started to have that kind of entrepreneurial mindset, because when I listen to you, you are very clear about what are your strengths, where you are good at and what you are enjoying. But you're also very self-aware about what you are not enjoying, where you are at the edge. That's what you say when you have that client. And, you know, being self-aware of where you are good at and where you are less good is something that is a gift as well. And it's very good that you have figured out very early in your career. So now you're really, you have to think about, how do I build my career based on my strengths? And, you know, Sarah, I am really good at many things, but I also know I'm really not good at many, many things. I try to really focus on my gifts, on my talents, on where I'm really enjoying the most. And I try to surround myself with people who can help me compensate on the aspect that I'm not enjoying the most. And as you keep growing and developing and building your career, you have to keep that entrepreneurial mindset. Remember, this is your career. This is your life. It's like your business, your employment. So you've got to think about those challenges like an entrepreneur. What's my target audience? What kind of problems do I like to solve? What I'm not enjoying the most? And build that kind of spirit towards finding the right next step.
So, but let me take that to Sarah then. So Sarah, what job in the accounting field involves research and digging into problems, which it sounds like you really enjoy, but is not client facing?
I think that's where I'm stuck, because I'm just not sure. Maybe that's something that I need to do, is just research a little bit more of what's actually out there.
Yeah. Khadija, where can, I mean, at this point, she now has to figure out what jobs will work and what will not, right? I mean, to figure out if she knows basically what her strengths are, and it sounds like she really, really likes digging into problems and research and figuring out complex things. So how can she go about getting good advice on what kind of jobs fit her strengths but don't include the things she doesn't enjoy?
Yeah, I think, Sarah, what I would certainly recommend, and I think you say, to start to research some job around those elements. There are some, let's say, company where you can work within a financial tax department where you don't have that customer facing or customer pressure. So where you can be a little bit not in the front line of the customer relationship. So maybe look at those organizations where the customer, let's say, service is not part of the day-to-day job. I will also try to connect with people who have similar roles and try to really understand how practically it's happening to them and what are the requirements of the role. But it's really start by broaden also your network. Look at organizations that can be at the opposite of the organization you are working for today, because I'm sure there are those organizations where you don't necessarily need that strong customer centricity and customer pressure.
Sarah, if you don't want to be at the beck and call of customers, definitely self-employment or starting your own business is not the right road.
Right.
Yeah. So you're going to end up in a larger organization. You just need to be in a larger organization where you're not the one dealing with the client, right?
Right. And I like what you said about broadening my network, because right now it is pretty small. It's mostly public accountants, like in my career network. So I don't have the visibility into what other jobs are out there. So if I brought it in my network, I can see what other people are actually working on, what they're doing with their lives.
Yeah. And going to something like a conference for women or attending something like that is actually great, because something that is not directly focused just on accounting is going to bring you into contact with people in other industries that you may not have even thought of before, to really open your mind to, you know, you don't know what you need until you know that it's there, right? You have to know about the existence of it before you realize that that's what you want. And so keeping that perspective as broad as possible, so you include as many industries as possible, could really help you to start to take meetings with people in lots of different places. So Khadija, what are sort of the questions beyond just strengths and talents, which it sounds like Sarah has really thought about that quite a bit. What are some other questions she needs to ask to make sure she's looking for the right industry and the right job?
What I try always to ask myself is, every morning when I step out of my bed, Celeste, I'm really looking toward, you know, making an impact. I'm going to enjoy the people I'm going to work with. So sometimes also, Sarah, you find yourself where you might take an opportunity because you really want to work for a specific industry or for a specific leader. And I will say, if one time you are really facing that situation as well, I will really encourage you to do it, because working for a company that has the same set of values, and if I put aside, to Celeste's point, your strengths and your capabilities, you might have a passion, you might have a strong sense of purpose, there is a specific topic that is key to you. So I will also encourage you to look at that, because as every single employee in a large corporation or in any corporation, in any company, we can only deliver the highest impact when we are fulfilled. And we are usually fulfilled by the greatest purpose we bring to the table because of the people we work with or with the people we work for. So you will also find yourself in some situation where you want to follow paths just because of the people, just because of the purpose, because you can help to bring vaccine to society, because you can help to stop some disease. So think about also what is important for you as an individual, as a woman, as a human person. And I think try also to connect that and bring that to your professional career, because you will see you will deliver fireworks when you have both your strength, your gifts, as well as an amazing purpose to fight every morning for.
So, you know, at this point, Sarah, it becomes a two-pronged research project for you, which luckily you really like research, because not only are you expanding your network to talk to people to find out what job title it is that is best for you, what job duties, I guess. But also, as Khadija suggests, it's going to be about researching the company itself and finding the right place that has the right culture where you'll really fit in and not just have the job you want, but the environment where you can really thrive.
Thank you.
And do you have any tips on how to truly understand what a company's culture is from the outside?
I'm so glad you asked that. That was what I was going to ask Khadija to say. How? Because Khadija, everybody talks about culture.
Exactly.
So A, let's make this a two-parter. A, what do we mean when we say culture? And as Sarah said, when you're looking at a job posting, how are you supposed to know what the culture is?
That's a very good question. And that's a topic that's very close to my heart, because I'm also having an HR responsibility in my current job. So I think, first of all, if you go to website of each company, you will have, Sarah, a sense of the values, the job, the work environment. But you can never really assess the proper culture until you speak to people or get to know some of the people within the company. I always say that our best cultural ambassador is our people. And people want to join a great culture. People want to also stay for a great culture. So they tell their friends, they tell their environment, they tell their colleagues, and that's how great companies are known for. And today there are many companies that you can also find online that have been rated the best place to work, the best employer. So that gives you a sense. But you also have some websites, Sarah, where you have a sense of people who have left the company. And I also recommend you sometimes to check those websites because you can see what people say about...
Like Glassdoor?
Exactly, like Glassdoor. You can get a sense. But step by step with all the tools we have, Sarah, with LinkedIn, with the Twitter, you can really grasp quickly a sense of the culture of those companies. Are they talking about the topic that are absolutely important? Are they supporting the conflict that's running on right now in Europe? So you can really get a sense and feel free to push yourself out and to connect with people, even if you don't know them. On LinkedIn, get a sense. What I have found out, Celeste and Sarah, is people want to share their experience. I mean, with the tools we have today, it's very easy to have a sense of what's happening in a company, what kind of culture this company has. So speak to the employees, through the network, to the tools. That's the best way to get a sense of the culture.
Yeah, Sarah, as Khadija suggests, go on to Twitter and LinkedIn and say, hey, I'm looking at jobs. You know, does anyone want to brag about the company where they work? Does anyone think the place they work is great? Or I'm looking at a job at this particular company. Does anyone want to share with me your experience working there? It's not a black market against you if you are doing this kind of research. In fact, for me as somebody who hires, I think that's great when somebody's doing that kind of research.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
And if I may add one thing, Celeste, Sarah, you are in the best position today because the market is a candidate-driven market today. So today, companies have to be appealing. So companies are going out to tell how great they are, what kind of career opportunities they are proposing, what kind of career paths they are proposing, because it's very difficult to hire great people. So you will see very easily how companies are trying to promote themselves because we are facing talent shortage. We are facing a great attrition. And I think we have understood as an organization how the world has changed and what's important for candidates. And it's about purpose. It's about sustainability. It's about finding fulfillment in what they are doing. And those companies are actively working on that.
You're listening to That's a Good Question. It's part of the Women Amplified podcast from the Conferences for Women. A friendly reminder, registration for the Pennsylvania, Texas, and Massachusetts Conferences for Women is open. And this year, we are hybrid. You can join us in person, you can join us online, you can do both. And stay tuned because registration for the 2023 California Conference for Women will open in September. You can get all the details about this year's events at conferencesforwomen.org. Now let's return to our conversation with Khadija Ben-Hamada from Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany, and continue to help our listener navigate her potential career transition.
What questions could she ask during the course of an interview, Khadija, that might give her a sense of the kind of place it is to work? What might she ask the interviewer?
I always ask the person, for how long have you been in the company? And that gives you already a sense of if the person is happy or not. You don't stay if you are not happy. Then I quite often also ask, what do you like the most in the company you are working in? What do you like the least? Because if someone is telling you, I like everything, something is not going right. They should be able to tell you something. And then basically, those kind of questions will help you to get a sense of, and when you see people and how they talk about their company, how they present their company. I have supported some hiring manager during interview, and you have a hiring manager that talks about the company with so much passion, so much details, and he has fireworks and butterflies in his belly. But I have other manager that will give you the minimal information. So you can quickly, let's say, test and pressure test which one and how the culture is. And if you do a face-to-face interview, you get a sense on the campus if people are passing the corridor and saying hi and having a smile, you know, or if everyone is working in a closed door office, etc. So there are many things that you can really sense ahead of making a decision.
Interesting. I like what you say, that it's not so much what they're saying, but how they say it. Pay attention to that as well.
Absolutely.
I think, Khadija, as you mentioned, there are a lot of people at this point who may be having these same kind of questions. I wonder if you could give advice on how to know whether, when you're having these sort of doubts in your career, how do you know if they are real or it's just a temporary, you know, you've just temporarily fallen out of love with your job? How do you know if it's a lasting thing and it's time to change careers?
I think, first of all, is the lens of having that thinking. If you have that in mind for a couple of months, I think it's definitely more than something that is going to pass. For me, what is really my sense of reality is if in the morning when I wake up, I really feel that, okay, I'm going to make a difference today and I'm happy to go and meet with the people I work with, or I'm saying, oh my gosh, do I have to take a call from a customer today? And I think when you are at that stage, it's time to really think. But what I also really think, Sarah, and that's, I say that with a lot of confidence, I have seen many, many cases. I have reinvented myself a couple of times, and sometimes I also reinvented myself not knowing what was coming. And there is something that was very telling that you said, Sarah, about your mentor, that he said that was what he wanted for you. And sometimes it's very appealing for us, especially when we are early in our career, to also please and to be grateful and to give back that recognition to our mentors. We also don't want to disappoint you. But there are moments in your life where you have to put yourself first. And I think that's what you need to do right now, is put yourself first by also telling to yourself that reimagining your career is something that many of us are going through. Think, I always give that advice about being forever employable, meaning that you have to reinvent yourself. And Celeste, maybe a quick anecdote. In our organization, in the organization I work for today, we do a lot of reorganization. I think, Sarah, you're also probably aware of that phenomenon. We reorged for a specific reason. Why don't we reimagine ourselves? And it's the same way. Why an organization has to reorg themselves and make and go over reorganization, and employees cannot reimagine themselves. Mm-hmm. And in the post-COVID world, when people want a stronger purpose, when people want to make a difference, when people want to decide if they want to work from home or if they want to go to the office, they have the clue and they have the power to decide and to put themselves first. So I think if it's lasting, I think it's time. And for me, I see that as an opportunity to do something else. And I'm sure we have more than one career in a life.
So do you have any tips on how to reinvent yourself or make it easier? Because I feel like the part of me that wants to continue on this path to become partner is more of, it's because I'm afraid of the unknown or to leave what is safe.
Yeah. It's never easy, Sarah, to leave a comfort zone. Absolutely. I have done it many times, and I can tell you the first couple of weeks and months, I have sweat physically and intellectually. But once you are in the pool, you know what you will tell yourself? Why I didn't do it before? Why I didn't do it earlier? Because you will develop, and you have that, you will develop that natural survival mode because you have skills, you have strong education, you have years of experience behind you, you have talents, you have gifts. So those are your foundation. Those are the suitcase that you are taking with you. So again, do that inventory gift. Take the time to reflect. Do those research and analysis. Talk to people around you that might have a different perspective than you, that might think differently, because then you meet in between. And step by step, you will build that confidence. Try to pick a role model. I always looked at some women, also at some men that have always inspired me, and try to understand how they think around such a problem statement or around their career. And I'm sure one day you will meet someone with whom you will feel so ready to make that move that you will forget that comfort zone and just jump into the pool. I am sure, Sarah, it's going to happen.
And so something else that you said that stuck out to me is, I don't want to disappoint my mentor because that's the goal he has for me. And so if I decide to go a different way, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but I am scared to tell him that, hey, this isn't necessarily what I want. So do you have any tips on how to make that conversation go as easily as possible?
And I sense that. That's why I pointed back, because I had the same situation a couple of years I followed. So we also are, let's say, going through so much pressure. You know, our parents sometimes are choosing for us which grades and which focus we need to have. And then we have a mentor and we don't want to disappoint them. But again, the most important is to put yourself first, because this is your career, not his career. And I'm 100% sure that he's doing that out of good intention. But if you have that very open, authentic, and vulnerable discussion with him or with her, telling him how much you are grateful for the learning and the experience you had with that person, that helps you to reflect on your past and that you see a different path, I'm sure he will help you, because every mentor, Sarah, has one single goal, is to elevate and to help his or her mentee. So at the end, it doesn't really matter the final pass, as long as you grow, as long as you learn, as long as he sees you or she sees you growing and shining, he or she will be extremely thrilled.
If I could add something in here, just from a conversational point of view, yes to everything that Khadija has said, but also remember that you may want to get some of this research done before you let your mentor know. And I say that because, as Khadija says, your mentor wants you to succeed and has a lot invested emotionally in your success. And therefore, if you go to him and say, I don't know what I want, I just don't want this, he's going to be worried. He will be afraid for you also. And so that might lead him to really urge you to stay on the very safe path. So I would do some of this research and start to understand a little bit more about what you do want. So when you have this conversation with him, he can be reassured. And then he can help you to move forward. And you say, you know what? This isn't exactly what I want, but I have this idea about what the path I do want to take. And then he can help you out with that. And the other thing I would say in terms of your fear about taking this leap is that if you understand now that this is going to be scary for you and stressful and cause anxiety, this is a really good time to think about other things in your life. What are the things in your life that help you to relieve stress and anxiety? What are those things? And get them in place now so that you can already have a plan set for yourself where you know, okay, I'm starting to feel stress. Here's my solution. Here's what I can do. This works to help relieve my stress.
Wow. Those are really great tips. Thank you.
Any other questions that we can help you with? Because it sounds like Khadija is exactly the right person at this point in your life.
Yeah. I don't have specific questions to me, but I would love to hear some more details on a time that you reinvented yourself.
Khadija?
Yeah, definitely happy to do that. So Sarah, you know, I'm French. I'm sure you can tell by my accent. Try to hide it, but doesn't work. But I worked in several countries, you know, and the first time I had to reinvent myself is when I left. I mean, my family, my parents, my sister and my brother, and I told them I'm going to the US. And they told me, what? What are you going to do to the US? And I really had two suitcases, Sarah, and of course, a job over there. And I just had to reinvent myself from the beginning, build a network. I never thought that my English was good enough to live in the US, but really start this experience from scratch. I remember I was crying the entire time of flights. But once I landed, there are no way back. And I always felt and found myself in any challenge or opportunities where I have people around me. You're never by yourself, Sarah. And that's one of my lessons. And there is so many people going through the same phase than us. There are so many people willing to help her. And then I just, again, had to reinvent myself. And then I went back to Europe. And then I went to Asia again. And my company has offered me a job in Asia. And I remember at that time, I had zero clue about Asia. And I'd never been there. So again, for some reason, I felt it. Based on what you say, I knew that I had some strengths. I knew that I'm going to develop new skill and learn. For me, as long as I keep learning and I keep absorbing new things, that's always something that trigger my decision to move on. And then I just say yes. And same, I cried less because I had more experience. But then I land in Asia and I'm telling to myself, why did you do that to yourself again? But that feeling has lasted for just a couple of hours. But the same process, Sarah. I just say, okay, my story is unique. I have some talents. I'm not by myself. There are people in Asia and in Europe. If it's not working, I can still go back and I'm going to go there, open myself to people, and they're going to help me. And that notion of also coming and always surrounding yourself and trying to absorb to others is something that has always worked for me. But the most important reimagination that I have done is really taking a stretch assignment in my career. I've been always in the HR function in several countries, in several roles. But then one day I got a call to work for the CEO of the company. So a fantastic woman, a medical director and leading 60,000 employees. And I've got that call, would you be interested? And then I say, do you ask me if I can do the job or do you want me as an HR to recommend people? And I was doubting myself. I just say, I don't know if I can make that. And I remember going over the process and hoping of not getting the job. Oh. But then I got the job and I can tell you, Sarah, I have sweat a couple of weeks, but the same process. You don't know what you don't know. And when you put yourself authentically, very open and go to some people like the head of research and development, because it was a pharmaceutical company, and say, hey, I don't understand the drug process. Can you help me? He was so happy. He sat with me hours and hours and he helped me to get there. When I was not too much into the P&L and to M&A topic, because I was coming from HR, I went to see the CFO. Do you mind spending a few hours? And you will be surprised on how much people love to talk about what they do and how they want to help you.
Oh, that's so true.
And I just spent time of, okay, they know that I don't have all the skill set. She chose me because of my aptitude, potential, leadership, ability to work with different environment and culture. Those are why she chose me. Now I need to make sure that I can support and surround myself with people who can help me. And then when you come with an approach like you don't know it all, but you are ready to learn it all, you will be impressed by how much people can give you.
That's gold. Sarah, other questions or other ideas on what might face you in the months ahead?
So that was amazing. Your story is incredible. But I was wondering how you were able to build your network in all these different countries. Like, I know you mentioned at the beginning going to these conferences for women, which I think is a great idea, but I don't even really know where to start in terms of broadening my network.
So the first, maybe if I go, Celeste, is the first thing is you have to put yourself out. I mean, we have many tools today. You have LinkedIn where people can also follow what you do. I think for me, what has really worked, and that's something that I try to share, and it's a key principle of my leadership and the person that I am. I really also believe that your work speaks for yourself. And I remember having a mentor told me, he told me that you need to build a brand for you. So within my own company, which has been much more easier when you work for large corporations, Sarah, to your point, to have a larger network. But I always work towards delivering something that was important in a good way, in a fast way. And then people start to see, oh, Khadija is known for getting things done. She's known for this. She's known for that. And those opportunities came because you have developed a certain set of skills and experience, and people get to know that. But I also am a very, let's say, personal, people-oriented person. So I like to connect with people. I like to share stories. I like to share, let's say, to learn from them. And that's how you develop a network as well. So put yourself out, Sarah, through LinkedIn. I'm sure there is some accounting association and network. There might be the alumni group of your, let's say, previous university or college. Feel free to go towards that. And don't be shy to connect with people that you don't even know. I cannot tell you how many people I have connected that I don't even know them. So just put yourself out, and step by step, that will be a snowball effect where your network will be so big that opportunity might come to you directly.
Great tips.
Really, really great advice. Yeah, there may be things, networks, as Khadija suggests, Sarah, that you haven't really paid much attention before, not just alumni networks, but I found when I was reaching out, there were networks I hadn't paid a lot of attention to before in terms of like the volunteering that I do. I work also with the League of Women Voters. I hadn't even thought about them as a network for finding new work and finding new clients. And yet when I reached out and said, hey, this is what I'm doing, there was a huge number of professionals there. So for me, getting involved with some of these other activities, volunteer networks, sometimes it can be a political organization or whatever else you do, that can help you create unexpected networking opportunities as well.
That's great advice. One thing that I'm worried about, and I do decide to change careers, is that I would feel like all these years that I've been working towards this one goal would be wasted if I decide to go a different way. But it sounds like you had taken a completely different role that you weren't necessarily expecting. So how were you able to use the skills that you had built?
Oh, absolutely. As an HR, I have developed very strong judgment. In when you're advising the CEO of the company, you need to have good judgment. As an HR, you always need to think for the best interest of the employees and enterprise. As being the right hand of the CEO, you always have to look at the best interest for the CEO and for the group. So I will not really call Sarah, and that's really my kind ask to you before we leave the call is, don't believe what you have built is a waste. This is your story. It's unique. It's perfect. It is your story. I can guarantee you will always leverage that. It has been part of your story. So it's something that you will always keep with you. I will not call that a waste. So I will say you will find connection between your past and your future. And the most important, if you keep having that learning agility I was just referring to from, okay, I know I can learn many things. You have proven that you can learn many things coming to your way. And your past will just help you to get there.
Mm-hmm. This is great. I feel like I'm going to have to re-listen to this recording over and over to remind myself of that.
Luckily, it's available forever. One thing I would add is that I have a 25-year history with NPR and PBS and all these other media companies. All of my education and my original work is in music. I'm a professional opera singer. But I got my first job in radio as a classical music host, which I never would have predicted. So when you start to say yes and really broaden your idea of who you are so that it's wider than just a job description, you might discover you're qualified for a lot of different things. And that experience that you've had can help you in a ton of different ways. It's not just specific skills. It's a whole skill set that you've developed.
That's great advice. Thank you so much, guys. This has been amazing.
So, Sarah, thank you so much for bringing that really, really good question to us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
And Khadija, thank you so much. What an incredible wealth of wisdom you are.
Oh, thank you very much. And Sarah, I wish you all the best. And please reach out to me on LinkedIn. The network starts today. You will have access to my network and you will see when I accept your invitation, you will see 1,000 of people popping up. So the network and the work start today.
Wow. Thank you so much.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of That's a Good Question. Thanks again to our guest expert, Khadija Ben-Hamada from Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany. If you're looking for more inspiration from the Conferences for Women, we hope you join us at one of our in-person or online events this fall. You can hear from speakers like Brené Brown, Viola Davis, Malala Yousafzai, Reese Witherspoon, and so many more. Tickets are on sale right now, so visit conferencesforwomen.org to register while space is still available. Those slots usually go quickly. The in-person conference in Texas on November 9th is already sold out, but you can still register for the virtual conference anywhere on the 10th, or you can join us in Philadelphia or Boston. The Conferences for Women is the largest network of women's conferences in the nation. They draw more than 55,000 women and men to annual events in Boston, Philadelphia, Austin, California, and online. I'm Celeste Headlee. This is Women Amplified from the Conferences for Women. Thank you so much for listening. Be kind and be well.